The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, most of you know that I am somewhat of a technology geek. And so I'm going to inflict that on you a little bit this morning, because for our sermon this morning, I want us to consider for a moment the smartphone. It can be an iPhone or an Android phone, whatever, but these are truly amazing things. You think about it, with this little box of metal and plastic and glass, you can find maps to anywhere in the world. You can listen to any music imaginable. You can access more information than you could fit in a house full of encyclopedias. You can watch movies. And yes, because it is actually a telephone, you can even make calls with it. Now, wouldn't it be incredible if you could bring one of these smartphones back, like 50 years into the past, and show people, this is what's coming. This is what you're going to have in your pocket someday. Now, that might be cool, but it wouldn't work. Now, ignore the whole time travel thing for a minute. It wouldn't work. Why? Because your cell phone needs a network. It needs a connection to get all those maps and directions and music and information and phone calls. Without that invisible web of signals, even the newest, fanciest smartphone becomes an expensive paperweight. With no connection, it dies. Now maybe you see where this is going. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Now, whether we like technology or not, we are all in a way like smartphones. We need a connection. We need a source of vitality and strength from outside ourselves. See, in Jesus' telling of it, the branches, well, they get their water, their nutrients, and their very life from the vine. Without the vine, those branches can't be healthy. They wither and die. See, the truth is, human beings never were and never will be truly independent. We all depend on something. The question is, what is it that we're going to depend on? Where will we get our signal? Where will we get our connection, our vitality? Because on the one hand, you can use your smartphone to listen to the most beautiful music ever composed. You can also use that smartphone to look at things that nobody should ever be watching. Where does your signal come from? The most basic, fundamental question we have to ask is, what is my vine? Where do I draw my life from? What is the source that I am connected to? Do we draw our sustenance from the angry media? Do we draw it from consumerist culture? Do we draw our vitality from our own self-righteousness? Does our life get driven by fear? Jesus offers himself to you as the true vine, the real source. And he says to you, abide in me, remain in me, be connected to me just as I abide in you. See, right away we're talking about this is a relationship of intimacy and connection and dependence, and it's one that Jesus creates. He already comes to you. Before you even ask, he comes to you through his word. And that abiding word, that's not just the word that we hear in Scripture. In John's gospel, the word of Jesus is more expansive than that. It includes also the word that is given through the action of the sacraments. See, Scripture and prayer and baptism and communion, these are the ways that Jesus comes to you to abide in you, to take up residence in your heart, in your soul, in your mind and body. If we are the cell phone, then prayer and word and sacrament are the signals that Jesus sends to fill us with his presence. So then the question becomes, how do I receive those signals? How do I tune in to that transmission? Well, this relationship, this abiding, first of all, it is a pure gift. Jesus simply comes to you. There is nothing you need to do to deserve it. There is nothing you can do to earn it. Jesus simply loves you, just as you are. But the way he comes to us, the form of this gift, it has shape. And the shape of this gift is in spiritual disciplines and practices. And these practices, they center on the very things I've already talked about. Prayer, Scripture, sacrament. Now, let's just think for a moment about over there at the baptismal font in the context of this vine and branches. How often do you consciously and intentionally bring to your mind that you have been baptized, that you are baptized? How often do we bring to our minds that we have been named and claimed by a gracious, loving, forgiving God? That no matter what happens, we belong 100% to Jesus. And then the flip side of that, how often do we think and act on the reality that we aren't the head? We're not in charge. We are members of the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. And so everything we are, everything we think and do can flow from that basic truth that Jesus has already claimed you, that he died and rose again for you. See, remembering our baptism into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and striving to align everything we do with that identity, that's a discipline that will help us remain and abide in Christ as our source, our center, and our Lord. And it will help us to struggle against all those false vines that offer themselves to us, promising us life, promising us comfort, promising us delight, but leaving us with nothing but to wither and die. Now let's move from the font to the communion table. See, something truly glorious will start to happen in us when we begin to realize that all of us, more than anything else, what we are is we are receivers of God. Think about that. We receive God. We aren't users of God. We aren't consumers who get to pick and choose what kind of God we want. We aren't pawns of God. We aren't God's playing pieces on the game board. And when you get down to it, first and foremost, we aren't even primarily servants of God. Before that, we are recipients of God. In Holy Communion, Jesus gives himself, even to the likes of us. And so that means that the very same creative and loving and healing and redeeming and sin-defeating energy that is in God is in you. And it's given to you freely as a gift. And so the discipline here is to remember that that is what we're receiving. This isn't a little snack for our faith. This isn't a little appetizer or dessert. This is the bread of life. This is the power of God. And not only are we given mercy when we come to that table, but look around, everyone else who comes to that table is too. And that means we belong together on this road. We need to cultivate deep and loving and authentic, truthful relationships with each other. And folks, once we start talking about truthful relationships, once we start talking about going beneath the surface and being authentic, we're going to find out real fast that what those relationships need to be grounded in is forgiveness and grace, which is exactly what we receive every time we come to communion. We abide through the gift of baptism. We abide through the gift of Holy Communion. And the last discipline I want to talk to you this morning is spending time in Christ's Word through Scripture and prayer. Now, I know that a lot of us already do read the Bible and pray. I know a lot of us want to be doing more of that. But what I want to ask today isn't how much are you doing it, but why and how are you doing it? See, Jesus snuck something into this reading this morning that might have struck you as absolutely unbelievable. He says, if we abide in him and his word abides in us, then whatever we ask for will be granted. And so you might be thinking, so wait a minute, if I read enough chapters out of my Bible, does that mean Jesus is going to show up and give me a magic wand so that all my prayers will be answered? And if that is the case, wait a minute, I have to read like out of Deuteronomy and Leviticus? Or can I read like out of the easy stuff, out of the New Testament? How many chapters? How many verses? No, that's not how it works. See, if we abide in the Scriptures, if we let God speak to us, and if we receive our very life from Jesus, then what's going to happen is our desires and wants will change. Our priorities, the things that we think we should be asking God for, will change. See, prayer is not about us going to God and getting God to do something for us that he doesn't really want to do in the first place. Prayer is about shaping us to be people who want the same things that Jesus wants. Making us into people who prioritize the same things that Jesus prioritizes. And that only happens when we let God set the agenda. When we read Scripture to let Scripture shape our thinking, our attitudes, our opinions, our priorities. See, in this conversation of Bible reading and prayer, Jesus wants to shape our character. Can you imagine a church full of people whose number one priority in any situation is to ask, what really matters to Jesus here? Can you imagine how your life would be changed if your number one priority every day is, what's most important to God today? See, this isn't about learning more. It's about growing more. It's not about getting ourselves more righteous, because I read more Bible than other people do. It's letting ourselves become more dependent, even more desperate for the Word and the presence of Jesus. That's how we abide. Being a branch, being like that smartphone, is a gift. It means you don't have to generate your own life. You don't have to create your own meaning and purpose. You don't have to rely only on your own strength. But being a branch, being a smartphone, is also a struggle. There are so many false signals out there. There are so many vines that we have to say no to. But Jesus gives you that struggle, not as a test, not as a barrier, but as a gift. Because it's in that struggle that you will find Jesus already right there with you. Abide in him, and you will have life that is abundant and free and eternal. Amen.